Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel for this Thursday morning, the 29th of January. It's Ray and I in the studio so far, and or as we like to call it, Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, the old days, huh?
Yeah. So, how are you?
Great. The fun drive starts, you know.
It does. It starts on Monday.
You looking forward to that?
Morning. I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I think you and I are probably on the same page.
I think I made Alan taken aback yesterday. I said, I'm actually looking forward to this.
I'm actually looking forward to this.
Yeah.
We're going to start a roundtable panel in just a moment. The media project taping, which immediately precedes this broadcast in its taping schedule, was a bit delayed. And
over in Studio D.
That's right. And Rosemary and Alan will be in a moment, and then we'll get to several topics of the day. We're going to be talking about things like, obviously, the Sheldon Silver situation. We'll continue an update on that. We will talk about the continuing concern over the visit by Netanyahu and the House. Nancy Pelosi spoke out about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. We will also talk about the Attorney General hearings that took place yesterday. We will have a conversation about vaccinations in California, the measles outbreak out in California,
that's an interesting one,
which came from, of all places, the happiest place on earth, Disneyland. And also, we'll have an interesting report that urges Western governments to reconsider their reliance on biofuels. And that is another story in which we will be tackling this morning. So all of that coming up on the program, assuming that they finish.
I think they're done. I think they're done because the producer's in there, standing there, talking. Maybe they've forgotten.
Holding them up.
I saw somebody's post on Facebook that said, watch out, it's Mercury retrograde. Now, I don't know what that means, but apparently it leads to confusion. And there seems to be some confusion in the building today.
Yes.
Things are going astray.
I agree. I was telling you before the broadcast, but this morning, normally we have tradition?
Yeah.
The way, a manner of doing things.
Standard operating procedure.
Standard operating procedure, which is I send you, I send the
suggested topics.
The topics go in, and we send those in, and then, but then I learned that I forgot to send them.
Yeah.
So we've got all those printed out for Rosemary there.
Thank you.
Alan, they're in your machine.
Hey, that's a nice tie there, Alan.
You
got to talk on the microphone there.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's
that's
a Marilyn good. Monroe tie.
Yeah.
Red.
It's red.
Oh, and does it have her skirt up there?
No.
This all right.
Well,
oh,
if you lift up the tie, you get a surprise.
I thought it was the one where she's on the grate. You know?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Turn the tie
her
around.
Her then-husband did not like that picture. Do you know that?
Was it Joe D. at the time?
Mm-hmm. Would you?
It's iconic. It's known all over the world.
No, I know.
Okay, you marry Marilyn Monroe. What are you expecting? Come on.
No, that's true.
Virginity and chastity? I don't think so.
I think what you're expecting is that you're going to convert her.
To what?
Housewife.
Oh!
I think that was Joe's problem.
Well, they didn't need a housewife. They had a Mr. Coffee. They were good. Particular about your coffee.
It was Joe DiMaggio and then Arthur Miller, or Arthur Miller and then Joe DiMaggio?
No.
Joe DiMaggio and then Arthur Miller.
And then right. Mitch Miller after that. Very little publicity with that one.
Well, and then they were following the...
When did Kennedy come in? Oh.
My brother went out with Mitch Miller's daughter.
No way.
Really?
Yeah.
Did...
Was she pretty? Did she look like Marilyn Monroe?
I don't know. I never saw her.
How long did they go out?
For a date.
Oh, okay. So not a long two.
He didn't measure up, huh?
Yeah. not long enough to follow the bouncing ball, as it were.
It's really a great story because it was a double date. It was a double date. And my brother brought his friend from the Bronx there. Right? The women.
You're going to get yelled at for laughing.
The women were sort of getting ready. So the mother came out into the study, or so the story goes, and said to them, "Can I fix you guys a drink?" And my brother said, "I'll have a Coke or something." And the guy from the Bronx said, "Could I have a fine liqueur, please?"
Oh, nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
How did we get here?
Well,
rule one: never compliment Alan on his tie again. Yeah. Notes to
see
self.
where you end up.
Yeah, Mitch Miller's house.
All right, let's let me introduce our panel. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here, in case you were wondering. Alan Chartok is here. SUNY Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo joins us. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
And WAMC newsman Ray Graff is here. Good morning, Raymond.
Yo-ho.
And I want to thank you very much for being with us as well. Let me introduce or invite you to join us in the conversation, roundtable at WAMC.org. roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or our Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. There are so many ways to get a hold of us.
I'd like to just
you can employ one of them.
I'd just like to do one piece of housekeeping, if I may, Joseph.
Yes.
And that is that because Rosemary and I were in the media project and came running in at the last moment, I didn't have my device, my iPad device, to bring in with me, so I can't read the letters unless somebody in the front office brings it in now.
One of your lackeys can do that.
Now, I'm pretty
You stop that.
Oh, Joe or I.
Gonna call you, how would you like somebody to call you a lackey?
I'm a lackey. We're all lackeys to you, Your Highness.
I think he self-identifies as a lackey. I think we all do. I've just seen Sarah walk by, so I know she's...
Listening.
Getting it now.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, she heard you and heard your plea. And that's what it was.
Oh, you think
it was a plaintiff whale, actually.
It was a plea. Yeah. I think so. So she'll be in a moment with that. And then we'll, oddly enough, we don't have any letters because we haven't talked about anything else. Oh, there we go. Look at that.
Sarah, we love you,
Sarah.
Thank
you, Sarah. Thank you very much.
You're not a lackey.
Our wonderful producer, Sarah LaDuke. All right. Now, let's start with the business at hand and the stories that we're going to talk about that we've been working on for ages. Let's talk about a really interesting article in the New York Times this morning about the Sheldon Silver...
6 days to six
incident.
Days to
yeah,
the
6 days that that felled
the world.
Sheldon Silver, the speaker who ruled Albany for decades. After 21 years dominating Albany through his stoicism and unyielding will, Sheldon Silver met his downfall appropriately enough after an uncomfortable silence. Late on Monday afternoon, Mr. Silver, the longtime speaker of the New York Assembly, addressed scores of his Democratic colleagues who had grimly gathered in a corner conference room in the state capitol. The mood was as serious as the charges he faces, that he exploited his office to obtain millions of dollars in payoffs. Mr. Silver spoke for less than 10 minutes before offering to leave the room to help facilitate a freer discussion. No one asked him to stay. So it was that Mr. Silver, one of the most powerful men in New York, and suddenly the face of Albany's continuing corruption crisis, shuffled out. That exit foreshadowed his fall from grace. And so it's a fascinating, because now we're starting to hear the reports. This story written by four reporters of putting together kind of the timeline of what happened over the past 6 days to facilitate the step down.
What do you think of the word shuffled out?
Yes.
Instead of walked out, you know, he shuffled out of the room after he...
Have you seen the pictures? It does look like his face is down. He's looking like an old man.
There's no question. He is an old man.
You know what?
He's 70 years old. I'm 73 and I'm not
an old man. You don't shuffle.
No, I don't shuffle. What?
Well, I shuffle
when I play gin.
It's interesting.
He gambles differently than you do.
Because I think you can shuffle as a younger man too. I think it almost seems more dejected to me. That's how I read it.
Dejected,
I mean, I think
too.
it can be interpreted in different ways. But I think you're absolutely right.
But
how
it is
it's
an
used.
Editorial if you think about it.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So it is interesting, and now. We talked about this yesterday, of course, as many Democrats saying that it's a transformational moment, and once in a political lifetime, once in a generation, you have an opportunity to set a new direction. That in and of itself is a statement that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Did something happen before I got here?
What do you mean?
Well, we got a letter from Cynthia, who says, "Now," in capital letters, "you know, I just love live radio, looking forward to the fun. Drive.
Well, we were vamping while you guys.
That was from 9:02. So that.
Oh, that was even before we.
Yeah. Christina started laughing. I didn't know the mic was going on. I made a funny comment. He started laughing. It was my fault. I think that's what she's.
I got it. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I apologize.
Yeah, but we were vamping before you came in. We were talking about the lockbox. We're talking about the fun drive and all that good stuff.
Now I'm caught up.
All right, you are.
What are you looking at?
As far as the transformational moment of this, Alan, what do you make? out of it?
Well, there's a huge story here. There is now, I mean, it is so interesting to me as a person who's covered state legislative politics, you know, all of these years, but fascinating. You got a governor who is a bit of a control freak, right? We know that. You've got people who want to succeed the outgoing speaker, including the boss of the Bronx, a guy by the name of Heastie. And he's the Bronx chairman, as they say. Now you got Preet Bharara, who says the last thing we need now is another three men in a room doing this, because as soon as you have that, you don't have open government and too much power resides in one person. Immediately followed by Cuomo saying, "No, I don't want to negotiate with the committee," and I'm assuming that means in the open. I want to go into the room with the other two guys, and I want to do this. It's efficient, you see. Democracy is not always that efficient. So now we are seeing this race going on. When you have an opponent, things start to leak, and one of the things that is leaking as we speak is the idea that this guy Heastie from the Bronx had been cited by the very Moreland Act Commission for the way he did his fundraising. Something about his fundraising, I couldn't quite get to the bottom of it, but that was cited. Meantime, the real question is, are we going to do it again? Are we going to have another Sheldon Silver and then just business as usual? Or are we going to take this opportunity in New York State to change things around so that there's more? So, for example, the conferences, which are secret. Nobody cares what's going on in the legislature because all the decisions are already made. So how about putting a television camera in the conference as opposed to a television camera in the legislature where all the decisions are being made? It's play acting. So it's a much more than just choosing another person to run the legislature as Sheldon Silver did. I think this is a golden opportunity, and I am quite sure we're going to blow it. And whether or not Cuomo is going to end up not only being the governor but choosing his own guy so he can be the speaker also.
What did you make of Keith Wright's statement that this should be a downstater's assembly speaker should be a downstater's job? Does that run the risk of alienating upstate Democrats?
Well, the reason we have always taken, like Morelli, the guy from Rochester, thanks, good question.
Thanks. Right.
Well played.
I didn't mean to be condescending. But it is a good question because we know the legislature, the assembly now has two-thirds Democrats. The assembly has two-thirds Democrats, right? Mm-hmm. So some of them have to be from upstate, more and more. So, because it's getting to be a bluer and bluer state. So if you do that, you got to tip your hat to the upstaters. So there is always going to be a majority leader, the number two spot, as opposed to the speaker, from upstate. Morelli is that guy. Mm-hmm. Ordinarily, he would not have a shot because, as you say, everything goes to New York City where the Democrats are and the Democratic voters are. That's why.
Well, that's what Keith Wright basically said. Yeah. It's a downstater's position.
But he endorsed Heastie from up in the Bronx.
Right.
Thank you, Rosemary. He endorsed him, and apparently they worked it out somehow. And then he said everything has to be from New York City, because the big fight now is between Morelli, who after all was appointed number two by who? Everybody, let's all shout it out together, Shelley Silver. So
follow the bouncing ball.
So if I'm them, I either go to the upstate guy and say, okay, let's keep it clean, let's get it out of New York, or I go to Kathy Nolan, who's the chair of the Education Committee, who would be the first woman to run to be the speaker. The problem with that is the competition is between the first woman, to be honest, and the first African-American, right. which Eastie is. Right. So so now there's some of that sub-politics going on.
We never have that in our politics, yeah, same on the national level.
Nobody wants to talk
No about. Woman, you know, will put a man, even, they would say, a black man. It's so, it's, I she's got my emotional support. I have an international view on this. When you throw out the bombs, as they did, for example, in the Arab worlds, they threw out the old despots, they're then left with the possibility of who do we put in for the next regime, who's going to take over. And almost everyone who has the experience for the jobs has been tainted in some way by their experience with the old regime.
Sure.
So you're not going to purge the Sheldon Bruno kind of politics in the first reiteration after him. But listen to the words they're saying. They're all talking about reform. Heastie is talking about more accountability and transparency. We may not get it right away, but I think exactly what you're talking about is they're pretty much aware that they better do something. The public is waiting for improvement.
But if you don't get it right away, there's a good chance you'll never get it.
Well, I think you're both right. I think this is really going to be a very tough time because this is the time to change it. This is the time to change the rules. This is the time to open things up. This is the time to make sure that, for example, you can't be speaker for more than two or three terms, which is other places have adopted. I'm sorry, Joe.
No, I just want to get we have to make up some time. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back on the other side of the news. We'll continue this conversation. We'll incorporate your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel for this Thursday, the 29th of January. Very nice to have you with us. And we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. I'm Joe Donahue. Alan Chartok is here. Ray Graff and Rosemary Armeo. We welcome your comments. Again, roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also comment on our webpage, WAMC.org/Roundtable. Also, WAMC.org is where you can help out with the lockbox. We've only got a few more days before the fund drive begins. Ooh, on Monday.
I can give you a hint before we get the official notice. It's very close.
We're very close.
Well, it's close, but not close. I'm not going to tell you because it would be wrong to spoil it for everybody. Well, we got about $39,000.
Okay, so you did tell everyone.
All right. Yeah. It would be wrong to spoil, but let me tell you the exact number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have about three and a half days.
Boy, it's going to be close. This is really close.
So we'll get an update. Those numbers will change between now and the time Egan comes in, so it'll be different.
Right.
You'll still want to tune in to find out what it
is.
Yes,
exactly.
You see.
Yeah. Forward advance.
Alan, we have letters.
Oh, we
and
do.
You will read those for us now.
Yes, I will. Okay. James, now you understand, folks, that I'm reading them real time with you. I'm not pre-reading them.
So when there's a screw-up, it's just because
you haven't pre-read them.
Okay. Panel. I say give the job to Interim Assembly Speaker Joseph Morelli from Monroe County. The last upstate Democratic speaker was from Schoharie in, anybody want to guess?
1927.
1911.
Exactly.
The downstate Dems have too much power as it is, and I don't think that the gesture of an upstate speaker would diminish their hold on the party one bit. Meanwhile, Morelli's district is like a little blue island in a red sea. Ray Graff, the Ron Swanson of public radio.
Ron Swanson?
I have no
Who's
idea.
Ron Swanson?
Does anybody know?
I don't know. You better Google him.
Is that
him.
Like Ron Burgundy or
Ron Burgundy? That could be.
And Dan says,
San Diego.
From Dan, term limiting legislative leaders would only work to further empower the governor by removing seasoned legislators from the negotiating table and allowing the governor to impose his will.
I'm sorry. It's the Ron Swanson is the Nick Offerman character in Parks and Recreation.
Ah,
I should have known that.
I've not seen that show.
Okay, okay, so
I heard it's
the
great.
Next
though.
Question: what is Parks and Recreation? Okay,
it's a TV show, NBC. Yeah.
It's going off.
Okay, so anyway, Dan was telling us that it's not a good idea to do term limits. Don't discount the importance of legislative experience in working with the system to keep the executive branch in check. Okay, and.
We seem
Bobby
to get the
C.
worst of that. No benefit from seasoned administrators, just corruption and not keeping the executive branch in check. It hasn't seemed to do either. The advantages that she's citing of not having term
limits. Happens is these guys get to be chairman of a committee. They stay there for 1,000 years. They become basically the emperor under the speaker. I am all for term limits.
Yeah,
but my fellow political scientists never agree with me on this. They always say that by my being for term limits, I'm basically saying that people shouldn't have the right to choose anybody they want. But we all know the way the legislature works, which is everybody hates the legislature, but they always love their own guy.
Yeah.
But
so
couldn't you look at it the other way, though, as far as term limits? If there are term limits, then assuming Assemblyperson X is corrupt, or in that person's soul, wants to make as much profit as possible. If there's a term limit, doesn't that just accelerate the process? I got 8 years.
Steal faster?
I'm going to steal faster. 8 years, only all I got.
No, the other way of looking at that is at least you get the bum out of there and he can't steal. Somebody else has to come in and steal.
There are two kinds of term limits, too. I mean, being in the legislature at all and positional term limits.
Right.
So, I mean, you can stay in the legislature if your people want to vote for you, but you can't be speaker for
more than
2 years.
You can't have that much power.
Lots of legislatures do that.
Yeah,
that
makes a lot of sense.
And also, to Ray's point, the term limit idea is how entrenched you can get over a period of time and, you know, knowing where the keys are, right? I mean, and if you're there last time, you don't quite know where everything is and how you can take it.
Yeah.
Unless you go in and cruise in and just take over.
As my Aunt Ruth would say, there are lots of things that are right and wrong with both sides. I studied the Florida legislature in the 1970s, spent time down there, and they had a really interesting system where you couldn't be speaker for more than 2 terms, I think, or 1 term. So then what would happen is they would start to get proxies 10 years in advance.
Oh, wow.
See what I'm saying here?
No.
Yeah. Well, they would say, okay, I'll be speaker this time, but I'll vote for you the next time, and then I'll vote for that guy the next time. So it had its disadvantages.
Which gets into traditional term limits of where you get them out completely.
Yeah. Right. I'm for that.
Interestingly, the AP reporting today, lawmakers in Massachusetts House could move to lift a rule limiting House Speaker's terms to 4 2-year terms. And so Robert DeLeo wants to stay, I think.
Of course he wants to stay. And because he's got his hand on everybody's, arm.
A 2-year term isn't long enough.
What?
A 2-year term is not long enough.
4 2-year terms is the limit right now.
So the change would allow him
to remain as long as he continues to be elected by lawmakers.
But every 2 years, Alan, you're running. That 2 years is not a long enough term, is what I'm saying.
No. But what they're talking about is how long you can stay as speaker.
I see.
But preceding DeLeo, both speakers, I believe, went to jail. So that's why they did the term limit at the time. Now he's saying, I want to stay. Remember Bloomberg? Remember Mike Bloomberg?
Sure.
The city council of New York voted that you could only be mayor for 2 terms. And the people voted for it. They gave him a choice. Bloomberg wanted to stay the 3rd term. So he spent a lot of money, spread it around. But he also said to the members of the New York City Council, since I'll be allowed to stay for a 3rd term, so will you. Right? And that's how he got it through.
So he sold it.
Meantime, I am told that my friend, who is the chair of the Ways and Means Committee, Herman Denny Farrell, was going to move to New York, already had the votes in hand to be the speaker of the New York City Council. But because Bloomberg threw the pebble into the pond, thereby causing concentric circles, and everybody stayed, then Farrell couldn't go because the old speaker was going to stay there as well as being term limited and getting out. Isn't that an interesting story?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Politics. No matter what system you have, there's a way around it.
And culturally, it doesn't take all that long to figure it out.
No.
Or for a guy like DeLeo in Massachusetts to say, hey, I like this job. I want to stay forever.
Are we good on the letters? We're done?
Oh, no. We have more letters, I'm sure, if that's what you want.
Go ahead.
Okay. Bobby C. says, can you please give some specifics or examples why you say New York State is becoming more blue? If it's true, it's great news. I will remind you all that the New York State legislature, both houses, used to be Republican. Then, back in the days of Stanley Steingart, things began to change. The Democrats took the assembly. Now we have an assembly which is two-thirds blue. Two-thirds, which means more than, and it is becoming bluer, just trust me on this. And therefore, one of the things that these people in the assembly have to worry about, just as the Republicans had to worry about after Watergate, was that there will be a total revulsion about what is happening in the assembly with Shelley Silver, and people will vote, quote, the bums out. So that's why, even though they said in the very beginning that they were sticking with Shelley Silver, as soon as they went home and began to hear from their constituents, they changed their minds, and out he went.
When, did you want to do more letters?
Anything you say. The idea of putting a camera in the Democratic caucus is well-intentioned. This is from Susan. But as Alan says, that is not going to happen. Better focus on reforms that are possible, for example, giving committee chairs more authority. Hello, this is Alan speaking now. Until you get a stinker. Speaker Fink ran the House that way and was effective. This is also the time to require full disclosure of all outside income, beginning with the candidates for Speaker, and that's from Susan. Good letter. I don't know. Oh, here. Penny says, Sheldon Silver always shuffled. That's his natural gait.
That's probably true.
I'll have to look at Michael
says, you're not old, Alan. Youth has no age.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Who is
and
that?
Vice versa.
And vice versa.
And Tom says, Cuomo wants not to raise tolls on the thruway or taxes in general, wants to build a new Tappan Zee Bridge and rail link, wants to increase infrastructure investment in the state, also wants to believe in unicorns. That's from Tom. And, okay, I don't know what this is, but it's not what I thought it was. And I think that's it.
What's the soup today?
Oh, the soup, I think I saw it before, but I eliminated it.
All right. Okay. Well, you check that out, and we'll move on. Let's go to the story about – there are a couple of big stories here that I want to get to in our time. One is the Netanyahu story. Nancy Pelosi yesterday said that she believes that Netanyahu's speech to Congress could hurt talks in Iran.
Are going so well, obviously. These months and months. They're just really rolling along.
May I finish the setup?
Yes, of course you may finish, Joe.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's scheduled speech to U.S. Congress in March could damage the Obama administration's attempts to broker a deal with Iran on nuclear weapons development, according to Nancy Pelosi. Such a presentation could send the wrong message in terms of giving diplomacy a chance, but Pelosi stopped short of saying that the invitation to Netanyahu should be withdrawn by House Speaker John Boehner. Raymond, go ahead.
Well, the talks have been very effective thus far, these years that they have been going on. So, obviously, we don't want to hurt that process.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. How long did the talks go on about Cuba before we had a result?
And did you see what happened yesterday in Cuba? Did you see what was said? Has anything changed yet?
Okay, one at a time. Go ahead.
Give me breaky, political people.
These are deals, and this is diplomacy, and it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen instantly. And they're right. These talks have been going on. The fact that we have talks is a major advance for the president. Republicans don't want us talking at all to the bad guys.
And we are hearing, like it or not, that things are breaking. In other words, getting better. We're hearing that from the person who has been charged with making this happen, the President of the United States. So where does Boehner get off and that other person, Mitch McConnell, where do they get off superimposing their own will on that of the President of the United States, who is in charge of our foreign policy? They would be screaming like whatever, roosters.
They're paying back the president who opened up relations to Cuba and put in immigration reform without consulting him. So if the president can do it, they can. I admire that they did that. I think they're playing hardball.
Yeah, you've said that before, but you're wrong.
So I think it's a good move for foreign policy? No. But I think it's going to end up hurting Netanyahu. I really do. I think this will help the talks.
I don't know. Netanyahu shouldn't have done it.
He's not a model of reasonableness.
He shouldn't have done it. Look, I believe in the state of Israel. I truly do. But I think this is a really dumb move. It's a bad move on the part of the
Do you like Netanyahu? You can believe in the state of Israel.
I do
but
not.
What about the current leader?
I think what happens
good.
Is that every time we turn around, they're doing something that they probably shouldn't be doing in order to further alienate to change the situation. It's really not good. We have family there. We have friends there. Many of our friends agree with me on this. This is not a good idea.
Right.
And then when, of course, Hezbollah comes in and kills two more people yesterday and asks for it, they stay in business by saying we're worse about Israel than anybody else, and therefore we're going to do terrible things.
Well, when you can say bad things about Israel or its administration, which we do, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're saying the other side's a model of good governance.
Well, much more than
they're
that.
Both
they're
at
terrible.
Fault.
Did you? We're going to take a break and we're going to move on to the stories. But and then we're just brushed on Cuba a moment ago. But I was surprised it didn't make a bigger stir and more of a story of the comments of Fidel Castro. Did you see that?
I didn't see it when he just made a reference to it. I was going to ask
what
he's talking about.
He was interviewed in a Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We can talk about that. I don't want to lose our break again. And then I'll bring it up here so I actually have it in front of me. We'll be back after this short break. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support comes from the ADK Market, Keene, New York, country store featuring natural foods, local and specialty products, fresh baked goods, artisanal beer, and everyday groceries. ADKMarket.com. Elms College, Chicopee, Massachusetts, working to educate students with their core values of faith, community, justice, and excellence. Elms.edu. And the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years. NYSBA.org/lawyer-referral.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable.
That was the best part of the program. Yeah, that spirited discussion.
A lot of going back and forth.
Ray says stuff, and then I say things under my breath.
Yeah.
My mother taught me how to do that.
And since I've been in radio for 25 or 30 years, I can't hear what you say, so it's just fine. Continue.
You know what I'm saying.
All right. Real quick, the thing I was talking about with
it's rehearsal for the fundraiser, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fidel Castro is that he said, "I don't trust the policy of the United States, but this does not mean I reject a Pacific solution to the conflicts." And he's been talking about. Anyway, I was surprised. My main point when I brought this up was that I was surprised that didn't make more of a.
He's out.
Part of the
he's
news
done.
Still.
What Fidel Castro says is history,
okay,
but it has
still.
No impact on what's happening now.
No.
Really?
Yes, that's why the agreement came now, after he's out of power.
Well, we don't know really whether he's out of power.
Oh, come on. Sick man. Yes, I think he's out of power. I think his brother is close to being out of power.
I'll tell you the story about Stalin and his foot twitching.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah. Could you do that one again?
we're taking requests now, ladies and gentlemen.
Uncle Alan, tell the Stalin toe story again. Well, sit down.
Oh, never mind. Okay, so let's go to the we can go to the mail. I was going to go to another story.
Vaccines.
Yes, we want to talk about the vaccination story out of California. This is 66 students in in California.
Palm Desert.
Actually, I'm not. I'm going to steal this real quick and give it
right
back to you.
Palm Desert.
Almost 70 Palm Desert high school students who haven't been fully immunized for measles are banned from classes for the next 2 weeks. Meanwhile, the classmate who may have exposed them to the highly contagious virus is being allowed to return. 66 students were released from classes Wednesday afternoon and won't be allowed to return until February 9th. Or when they are medically cleared or provide proof of immunization or resistance to the virus, according to district officials. All of this comes out of a visit to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, and bringing up a question. And while I was reading the story last night, I had to think that of just putting it into the Ebola context. Of where we, you know, where were you, where'd you go, and how
That's
we
good.
Reacted to that, and how we're reacting to this.
Well, there's a big difference between measles
Absolutely.
And Ebola, and that is that there is a vaccination that saves you, that saves the country from epidemics like the one we saw in Disneyland.
So you're
and it
you're
is
selfish?
Being violated.
So you're saying if
Very
a parent
selfish.
Doesn't do it, they're selfish.
Worse than selfish. I think it's criminal. I really,
really
do think that there should be charges against those parents. Maybe not put them in jail, but they should get tickets. It's wrong, and it's based on a campaign run by a Playboy model, Jenny McCarthy, who has an autistic child. I feel bad for her about that. But she has decided, based on information that has been found incorrect, that vaccines cause autism. It is not true. Repeat, it is not true. So instead, following her, hundreds of people are not getting their kids vaccinated, and diseases that are preventable and that cause terrible harm when kids get them. They die from it. So do old people. Measles and whooping cough are coming back. It's a terrible situation. Ridiculous.
Seems like the school did a kind of a rational thing.
Yes.
Saying, okay, you haven't
yes.
been vaccinated. We're not going to argue that point at this time. You can't come to school for 2 weeks.
Right. So, and maybe that's the way it should be in a free country. You get the right to decide what happens with your kids, but you don't get the right to bring your unvaccinated kids into a public
it
place.
It seems to be a fair decision by the
Although,
school.
Although I agree with that, except that there's still 95 kids that have gotten
All over
from
the Disneyland outbreak.
From the Disneyland outbreak.
Pluto got his spots.
Okay, that's funny, but I hate this story. It's just there are countries in the world that are trying to stop disease, and they would die to have the sort of level of protection the United States did. And instead, we're giving it up for just a ridiculous reason. It just is not true.
I agree with you, Rosemary.
Yeah.
I mean, and
the best research is that autism is on the increase because of older fathers. There's more to connect that scientifically, the
Uh-oh.
Age of the father, with than with vaccinations.
Why, are you going to become a father again?
You never know.
Oh.
You and Ben Franklin, eh? Way to go.
Ben had children late.
Oh, very late. 80 maybe? So we're just having this conversation.
Charlie Chaplin had. He had children in his 90s.
Really?
With very young
were
women.
Were they funny?
He was funny.
Seems like we're going back to Marilyn Monroe and Alan's
yeah.
Tie
well,
now.
You know, it's the end of the hour.
Full circle. It's pretty good. Alan, you have a couple letters, and then we'll go to Megan Finnegan and find out how the lockbox is going, and we'll all be free.
Let's see. James, I laugh at these people. You don't vaccinate yourself for kids. Then you deal with it. I also feel we shouldn't have to pay for the medical bills now
either. Pay, I think.
Right.
Well, but I'm just reading what's on the
Yeah,
page,
it says pain, but I think
pain.
It means pay.
It does. Judy says, I'm with Rosemary on vaccines. If you don't want to vaccinate your children, don't send them out in public ever. Big, big ever.
Homeschool them.
Okay. And some do. Until I heard the news story, says Lori, I honestly thought Fidel Castro had died.
He's irrelevant.
And like that. And then Narcissa says, I am totally in agreement with Alan. I, too, support Israel, though I am not Jewish, and recognize the necessity of its existence. However, what Netanyahu is doing is unacceptable. Trying to do an end run over the president? Question mark. What if Obama did that to him and spoke only to the Knesset? He'd have a fit. On the other hand, it might achieve peace. So perhaps we should take a page from Bibi's book. And then Michael says, to move beyond three men in a room will require a big increase in the resources of legislators' staff. Otherwise, even more power will flow to the governor. Mike from Skodak. I'll tell you something, Mike. When I wrote my classic book in the 1960s.
Seminal.
Seminal book. you know, strengthening the Wisconsin legislature. I was there, and those guys did the work themselves.
Yeah?
They'd come in there. I never saw anything like it. They'd roll up their sleeves, and they would do it. Here in New York, the third assistant to the third assistant, you know, you need to do that. Yeah. You need to do that work. So I'm not sure I agree with that. I think maybe everybody should work for a living. And Dan says, what about the idea of placing limits on consecutive terms? For example, a legislator could only be elected for, say, two or three consecutive terms. Then you have to take a break.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do some time in a federal penitentiary and then come back. Yeah, it's a good plan.
And Jay says, lobbyists become more powerful when term limits are introduced. They end up preserving the institutional memory. I don't agree with that either, but that's okay. And Margaret says, reports have been made that Silver would make more money by being retired. He stayed in to even make more money. Silver looks older in 2015 than 14. He better talk fast. He can help New York state government by baring his soul.
All right.
And there's more. But
okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we want to have time for Megan Finnegan.
Hi, Megan.
And Megan is here. She is keeping track of what we are talking about here, which is, our lockbox and the situation as just days before the fund drive.
She's terrific.
She is terrific. So what do you have to report, Megan Finnegan?
Well, I have a terrific sum to report. We have raised so far for the lockbox $462,573.
So what is that, 38 to go?
37.
37 to go.
He's quick
with
the math.
Amazing. But it's going to be close. Can you imagine if we only have 37 to go and we don't make it? That would be terrible. And we're not going to be, maybe we can figure out some way to give the progress during the weekend. I could call it in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be watching it all weekend, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Because by 6 o'clock in the morning when Ray Graff is, you know, running the fund drive.
Yeah, that's right. Right. When my sidekick, Alan, sit down.
Yeah. Then.
Donut in hand.
Then let me tell you, if we don't have it by 6 o'clock, we could lose it like for $5.
Right. And we're going to get $10,000 from Berkshire Bank.
$500
by the fund drive start.
And then we'll be halfway through the drive.
More than halfway.
Yeah. You know, this is something.
It is.
Amazing.
Yep, and you can get a beautiful personalized water bottle if you go.
So it's a 20-ounce stainless steel water bottle, right?
22 ounces.
22 ounces. Yeah. That's
what
a lot of water.
What can it be used for?
For hydrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people are still sticking to their New Year's
water bottle. It's a water bottle.
Water, exercise.
Yes, you can put a fluid of your choice in there, Alan.
Right.
And that's as far as you can go.
Okay, listen. We have to stop.
All right. Megan, thank you very much. We'll find out more tomorrow. We'll get an update throughout the weekend. And I know we're going to make it. And so I saw the number down there. How much do we need each day?
Well, we're under 10,000 a day now. We're down to 9,000 a day. We'll make it.
Make it happen. Make it so. All right. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. Megan, Rosemary, Alan, Ray, thank you all. We'll be back with the roundtable after this.